I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs in Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to Season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, dude.
The 90s called.
With Christine Taylor and David Lasher.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Hey, Dude, the 90s called. I am your host, Christine.
And I'm your other host, David.
We're hosts of Hey Dude, the 90s Called podcast.
Nice to see you, Christine.
Nice to see you, too. It is a miserable day in New York.
I've heard.
Blustery, windy, cold rain. Like, not the pretty, like, refreshing spring rain. It is, like, things are blowing all over. It is.
Are they calling it an atmospheric river like they do in LA?
No, I think that's saved for LA.
Yeah. You've never seen it like that.
I think it's just cold city rain here. Okay. But how have things been for you?
Well, I guess the highlight of my weekend was my daughter Hannah was home for spring break. She had gone to Miami and came home to spend, you know, 4 or 5 days with us. So we just had such a nice time, played some tennis and we had dinners and just really caught up with her, which is like, you know, when your kid goes off to college, like every day you get to spend with them. I'm like, oh, you want to play tennis with me? I'm there. I'm showing up.
Tell me more. Exactly. I want to hear everything. Oh, and our guest is here in the waiting room, and it is the one and only Richard Kind. Let's invite him in.
All right. The greatest.
Richard.
You know, it's really, this is the highlight of my day.
Ours too.
Who is that?
This is David Lasher, my podcast co-host.
Nice.
My God, Richard, I feel like I know you. You're one of those actors that I'm sure you get this all the time, that people feel like they've known you their whole life. I mean, and your voice as well. It's just so recognizable. It's scary.
It is scary. I'm sorry. It's even my wife and children are leaving me. They just will not take this voice anymore. It's awful. No, yes, I know. I've been around. And when you run into people who think that they know you and or that they went to school with you or you might even be related, and then they go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they go, oh, are you acting anymore?
Oh, God. They really are out of touch. I feel like you have to be. And obviously, I have known you for 30 plus years. I mean, you were one of the first people I met when I moved to Los Angeles.
Crazy. I know.
And David, it was, in fact, to tie this all together, I met Richard when David Pressman, who then became my roommate, and I were doing an episode of Blossom.
Is that how you met David?
That's how I met David Pressman and Andrew Hill Newman. The three of us were guest stars on an episode of Blossom, which this David Lasher starred on. And Richard, you came over to the dressing room. You were shooting, was it Herman's Head?
No.
No?
Was it Spin City? Was it what? No.
It was Sunset
Gower Studios in the early 90s.
It must have been a guest thing.
It might have been.
About it, Sunset Gower. I did, because I met David
Pressman.
Because Matt Perry was guesting on Empty Nest with me,
that's the connection, because Paul Witt and Tony Thomas produced Blossom. They also produced Empty Nest. That was probably...
I know that. That's okay, but that's my connection to you. But
is that more 80s? Was Empty Nest 80s? Late 80s?
I don't know if they were still doing it in the 90s. I'm sorry. I thought maybe that was the connection.
No, but I mean, that's how I met David, through Matt, who was guesting that day, and I taught them to play poker in my dressing room.
Oh God! So you're the one responsible for all of the gambling that happened.
I really am. I am, and I'm very, very disheartened by how the gambling got out of hand, because it really got out of hand. I mean, you got people playing; you lose thousands of dollars in an evening.
Well, yes. I think that's what started to happen with a lot. I mean, I know for a fact because my brother got into some of those games, and he was working as a PA. He was not a working actor, and he would go to these poker games. Brian and Matt Levin were roommates, and they were going to these poker games as if they were like employed actors, losing money. You're right. It did get out of hand.
And I'll tell you the worst thing, because in poker, you have to be cutthroat, right? I mean, you know, you've got it's an awful thing. I mean, you really have to lie. You don't have a good hand when you have a great hand. It's underhandedness. And I look at those guys, and I was making a decent living. I never made the living that they all ended up making. But I would sometimes fold, or I wouldn't bet, because I didn't want them to get hurt. That's the opposite of poker.
I was going to say, a poker player with a heart is a crappy poker player.
I have a very, very silly, stupid game here in New York where we play. It's a silly, silly game. Many of the players are very well known, and some of the players are theater people who don't make the kind of money that we're lucky enough to be making. Or one's a musician and an actor. And it kills me to take
you from them. You throw the games because you feel bad for the other players. That is that's a beautiful thing.
It is. I know. I am proud of it, and I'm disgusted by it.
Yeah.
Your wife must think you're the worst poker player alive.
Yeah. No.
I was going to say, Richard, I feel like you are... You know, I have known you for a million years, and you have always been within our friend group the person who everyone does the most impressions of. And literally, when I was texting you about coming on the show, we had Bonnie Hunt on a few weeks ago.
How is she? Tell me everything.
Incredible. I mean, it's my life's mission to be her best friend. I just don't live in LA, and I want to spend more time with her because I think she's incredible. But she gave you so much credit about at the very beginning, you loaning her some money to go off and take a chance at something. And she did this great impression of you of how, because she said, let me pay you back a little bit at a time.
Let's start with this. I lent a lot of people money, and the day, it was a lot of money, but it wasn't that much, and it wasn't such a big deal. They were going to pay it back. And what does it matter if it's in the bank or if it's helping somebody out? And it really wasn't that much. At the time, it seems like that much, but I didn't. But there's a list of people who I gave the money, and And Bonnie just wants to be like Carol Burnett, have somebody who gave the money and then they went off to New York and became a star. I didn't do that much. Now, her impression of me, everybody does an impression of me. Can't do an impression of me.
I can't do a Richard Kind. I can't do it. Yeah.
Most people can. There are only a few people who do a really good impression of me. But do you know a guy named Tom Virtue? Would you know that name?
That's a familiar name, but
He was the father on Even Stevens. He's an actor, wonderful actor. Okay. Doesn't work as much as I'd like him to or he'd like to, but he does. I went to college with him. He does such a good impression. He knows what I'm going to say. It's not just that he does an impression of me that sounds like me. He does an impression of what I would say. And the only way, and I've said this on other podcasts, the only impression that I can do of me, and it's easy, is one time we were at a poker game and they said, can you, and we're going back to the 90s since, dude, this is the 90s, the reference. This must have been back in the 90s. Someone said, Richard, you're going to be playing this week? And I said, no, I'm doing a commish. But this is how it sounds. No, I'm doing a commish.
Oh, that's good. That's a good Richard Kind impression. Bonnie Hunt said, what did she say? I don't want it in installments. I want it in one lump sum.
Who said that?
Bonnie Hunt.
That was what Bonnie said, is the way you said to repay her. Want installments, just one lump sum. When she was ready.
Because these people felt guilty. Right. That they had borrowed money. There's no reason to feel guilty. What the hell? It's money. You're my friend. So she said, I'll pay you back $100 a week. I go, no. I don't want that. First of all, I'll lose track. So don't think it was so, gracious of me. But I would lose track. And I go, no, when you have enough money, you pay me back. I don't want it in installments. What do I need, $100 a week?
She turned it into a very funny impression, though.
Bonnie Hunt is the greatest.
I agree.
And you say you want to be her best friend. For a while, I was her best friend, or one of her best friends. I was the lucky one. She lived in my apartment while I was up doing... What was I? I think I was up in Vancouver doing a show, and I said, stay in my apartment. It's easier. Can I tell you something right now? This is the honest to God's truth. I know I'm a nice man. I know I'm very philanthropic and blah, blah, blah. But I was in L.A. recently because I wanted to get out of the East Coast and get away from the snow. Kids are out of school, so I'll go there. I had three people living in my apartment rent-free. Mm-hmm. Because one is going through a divorce. One was heavily saddled by the strike and really didn't have much money. And the other is a young woman who's making her way in New York. So they were living in the bedrooms in this apartment in New York.
You know what, Richard? Not everybody is like that. And I just want to say, when I look at your career, it's remarkable that you have worked for, I don't know, 30 years consistently. But you know what? You get back from the world what you put out into the universe. And I feel like you deserve everything that you've achieved.
I guess so. But nice people deserve nice things. I think I'm a nice person. We don't always get it. But yeah, I think nice people deserve nice things.
And it comes back to you.
And I think good people deserve to go to jail because of the crimes they've committed 91 times.
There you go.
Let's move into the 2020s, huh?
Okay. No, because what I've never heard, and we have to go backwards. We have to go like before pre-90s, because I just want to hear, and you can, I'm sure you've told it a million times, but the brief version or whatever version you want to tell of how the hell you got into this industry. Was this something from childhood? You were a performer, you were on stage.
I've told it before. Having been raised near Trenton, New Jersey, in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, I would take the train into New York, and I loved Broadway. My grandparents lived here. They taught me. when I got to the age to go into New York City alone, I would come and I would see a matinee and an evening show. Then I'd go home. This is all by myself, or actually with Brian Iani, who was a really good friend. He liked the same things. So I always wanted to be an actor. But there are kids who want to be rock stars. There are kids who want to play center field for the Yankees. It doesn't happen. Right. You talk about it, but you don't do it.
Yeah, it's not real. It's not a reality.
It's not real. It's, you know, when you're 4 years old, you want to be a fireman. Then you want to be an astronaut. Then you want to be a ball player. Then you want to be a rock star. And then you go and you become an accountant. But I always wanted it. And my dad's best friend, when I was supposed to go to law school in the spring before I went to law school, he said, go try acting. Because when you're 40, you're going to resent your wife and your kids because you have to keep working and make money and you never got a shot and they're keeping you from it. So try it now. And I was good. I wasn't as good then as I am now. I never should have had the career because in retrospect, I sucked. I really was not good, but I was big and I was loud and I made an impression. But I wasn't.
You were unique. You were right. You could.
Who's going to go into showbiz with this face? it's different. It's nobody should. And I just tried it for 1 year. 1 year turned into two, into four, and ultimately, it took 20 years. I became better. It took 10 years when I was in Second City. I started getting a sense of myself, and I was employed every night.
Wait, you trained at Second City?
I didn't just train. I was on stage.
So that's where you met Bonnie.
Yes.
We were on stage. Yes. We were I had been there about 2.5 years. Bonnie will tell you, because she's so kind, she goes, I would come to see you. She'd come to see Second City, but she came and she studied me. Is I've heard her say that before.
And you're saying you weren't very good. I mean, keeping up and making it at Second City meant you were sharp. You were quick. You were funny, right?
For a year and a half, I was dreadful. You must understand. And I never got great, but I got very good. What I am is, what happened was with Tom Virtue, we were living as roommates in New York. And there was a group called, you probably know it, the Practical Theater Company. You ever hear of Practical Theater?
Yeah.
It was started by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Brad Hall, her husband Brad Hall, Gary Kroger, and a guy named Paul Barras. And they were all snatched up to go to Saturday Night Live. They were improvising in Chicago, right next to Second City. And they said, we're all coming to New York. I used to party with them. Why don't you go to New York or to Chicago and do a show for our theater company? We did. Second City saw me there and said, would you come and be in Second City? And I didn't have to go through through the touring company. I didn't have to take classes. They just picked me up. Now, trust me, there were people who made dartboards with my face on it. Because they were paying their dues. And here I just go straight onto stage.
You jumped
and
over.
My training was in front of an audience with all these people. And I was not good. What I could do was listen. Megan Fay, who was there, said, just look in my eyes and just listen. And that is what I did. And I'm a pretty good reactor. As far as being funny and saying funny lines, all right, I can be funny. I can say witty things, but not with the alacrity that these people could do. I mean, some of these people were tremendously witty and funny and heads and tails funnier than me. But I'm a better actor than they are, and I am a better reactor. And my sense of reacting could take a scene into places where just funny people might not. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So absolutely. You really, to have both was sort of the magic, the special sauce.
And trust me, there are people who are hilariously funny and no story. And those people are geniuses. I was not. I was good and I got better, but I was never great. And then from there, you know, you're on stage for 4.5 years every night, performing, improvising, having a sense of confidence on stage. Even the worst of us can get better. And I got better. And then I went to LA and I got work. And even doing that work, I got better because I didn't know how to act in front of a camera. Listen to me. I'm too loud. The camera's very small and I'm screaming like this, because I'm on stage, I'm still performing. So I ended up getting better over the years.
And yeah, did you have a lot of directors tell you to bring it down, bring it down?
Oh God, yes. Well, the funniest thing, you know, Christina knows Craig Bierko, who once said that the astronauts were up in space and they saw two things, the Great Wall of China and every acting choice Richard Kind ever made.
That's good.
So that's what it is. But I got smaller and I know how to play a camera and play a microphone and stuff.
But the sitcom work is not so far from a Second City type stage play. You know,
it's correct. Mm-hmm. Well, no, okay. We'll be more specific, especially being in the 90s. 4-camera sitcom in front of an audience.
Right.
Is very theatrical.
Right.
Yep.
So I've said this before. I got to work with two legends, Michael J. Fox and Carol Burnett. Carol Burnett can play the camera and play the audience at the same time. Mm-hmm. She's unbelievable. She's not the most subtle woman in the world. When she's a single camera, she knows how to do it. But when she's in front of an audience, she plays the camera and plays the audience. Michael Fox only plays the camera, but he needs the audience for timing. Mm. He needs to play them and ride those laughs, and he's a master of it.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step, and you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's in treatment.
the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Was Spin City your first big break, or was it Mad About You? Which came first?
Mad About You came first.
Oh, wow.
Actually, I came to town in October, and by the end of the month, I had a series that was a drama, because coming out of Second City, people would know, oh, you're Second City, oh, you're funny. I didn't want people to know that I was just funny. So I got into a very gruesome one-hour TV show called Unsub. What? Unsub. I call it Unsub. What? Unsub. Unsub was the FBI term. UNSUB, unknown subject.
Oh.
Okay. It was a cop show where we chased serial killers. We were, you know who Peter Roth is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peter Roth was head of Cannell at the time.
Yep.
And he said, and he's right, he goes, Rich, we were the first. We were the first procedural. We were about 1989, maybe, yeah, around that time. And that was the first one. And Emmett Walsh, who just died.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
he was in the show with me, and he became a very dear friend through that. Yeah. That was, was it a good show? No. It was a show, but we were the first procedural. And every time I see Peter Roth is known for hugging people, and he hugs me and he goes, we were the first.
And you got a show 1 month into coming to LA on the air. I mean,
unbelievable.
You're like, yeah, this doesn't happen, Richard. That doesn't happen.
Okay. But here's the thing. Okay. Here's me. Here's the reader. Here's Stephen Cannell. So I'm looking at the casting agent, and right behind is Stephen Cannell, and I'm reading this thing, and behind I see Stephen Cannell going,
I think I'm
doing the best audition in the world. And then I find out Stephen Cannell just loves his words, and he just does that.
My God. No, he just loved, he does that for everyone.
He loves hearing his words. So he was just, but yes, I got the person. Then that's canceled after, after the first pilot episode. I'll tell you a little thing. Is the night before before Cannell showed Brandon Tartikoff the pilot, there was a very famous incident where Geraldo Rivera did a show on witchcraft. And all the reviews were, this is the low point of TV. This is how much lower can TV get? He then sees the show the next day in the screening room, and halfway through, the awl in the neck, and he stands up and he goes, what the fuck are you trying to do? Bring down this network single-handedly? And they just knew that we were 11 and out. But we made them all, and it was a great experience. Then I did an episode of a show. Another guy who's dear, dear friend who passed, and Christine, you must know him through, certainly through Ben, was Richard Lewis.
And he was on a show. Yes. Yeah.
He was on a show called Anything But Love with
yes, with Jamie. Yes.
Yes.
I did a special episode that was especially lovely, and it fed right into what Richard Kind does. I fall in love with Jamie Lee Curtis, and I'm just this intern working at the place, and I have these puppy dog eyes, and I had all these scenes with her, and I would say I made a splash, but on the producer I did, and the producer was somebody who was there, a woman named Marsha Brandman, knew of me. I then went in and I auditioned for Carol Burnett, and I did a TV show with Carol for 2.5 years, and that was great. That I loved. And then from there, then I did Mad About You, and then I was fired after the first year, or at least not picked up on Mad About You.
Weren't you on the run of this show?
I know this sounds crazy, and I have had the best career in the world. And one of the things I like about my career is I don't, with the exception of like Spin City, which was 6 years, I don't do stuff that goes on for a long time. I go bop, the bop, the bop, the bop, the bop, and Spin City. I did the first year of Mad About You. We started out the first 13 episodes just as guest stars. So I go and I do The Music Man in North Carolina at Summerstock. I did two shows. And while I'm there, I get this call. They're not picking you up for the next season. I go, but I wouldn't have gone on. I would have tried their work. And they didn't pick me up. And that was terrible. And then I went through a year of pilot season. Then I got Spin City, and yeah, I was okay. And then I went back to Mad About You during the last year or so. I would do occasional guest spots on the thing, as the character. But yeah, my wife stayed on. I did not. I was very upset with Paul and with a guy named Danny Jacobson. It really upset me that they fired me, but they fired me.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I know, it's always just a blow to the ego when you find that they're not going to be renewing. They're not going to have you back this season. They're going another way with the storyline, or they cushion the blow. But I think, Richard, the sort of through line for you, and you brought it up just talking about doing Music Man. I mean, from the time I've known you, like you said, you would bop around, you'd do this, you'd do that, and through all of that, you were always doing theater, whether it was Summerstock, whether it was community theater, whether it was Broadway, musicals, plays, your love of theater.
I did an opera.
You did?
Yeah. It's a comic. It's Candide, but it's an opera.
Still, that's an opera.
Yeah.
And voiceover work. I mean,
voiceover work is not... Voiceover work is the opposite of theater. In theater, you got to work and work hard. And I really like to work. And you have to rehearse for 3-4 weeks, sometimes 6 weeks, with the prayer that you're going to do well, and you don't make money at theater. You just don't. There's a finite number of people who can see it each night. There's a finite pool of money. In TV, who knows how much money they're charging for commercials? Who knows how many people are going to see it? So it's the op, and voiceover work is, hey, I'm showing up in my pajamas. I didn't even shower or shave. Let me kick this off in 20 minutes and go home and collect money. It's the opposite of theater.
Yeah, but isn't it nice to sort of have that little like back pocket?
No. I love it. And it's acting.
Yes.
You must understand, I love it. And I get to do a lot of different stuff. I get to do Big Mouth. I get to do Mickey Mouse's Fun House. I go from sperm to stuff like that.
My kids love Big Mouth.
Yeah, well, your kids love Big Mouth, and little 3-year-olds love Mickey's Fun House.
Right.
I'm not disparaging voiceover. Voiceovers are a gift. They're just a gift.
Yeah.
you do it. Nobody sees your face. You get to do so many different types.
It could be the best job in the world.
It's the best job in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, how about those people who say, I want to be an actor? Really? What kind? Oh, I want to do voiceovers. Well, who doesn't want to do voiceovers?
Christine and I talk about this all the time. Yeah,
it's our running joke. We cannot get voiceover work to save our lives, well, Richard.
Okay. Yes.
You have to know somebody. You have to know somebody at this stage.
Blessed and cursed with this voice.
Yes.
No, it's amazing.
Sound like this, I ain't exactly going to play the most villainous roles in movies or stuff like that, although I have, but I have somewhat of a comic voice.
I mean, let's just remind our listeners. I mean, when I hear your voice, I think of the movie Inside Out. Mm-hmm. That character, mm-hmm. that purple elephant or whatever mm-hmm. that was.
Yeah, Big Bot. I am Big Bot. Yeah. Or as mm-hmm. I came out the door one time and someone looked at me and goes, oh my God, it's Dum Dum.
Big Bot. But I mean, A Bug's Life, the Cars franchise, Toy Story 3. I mean, these are amazing movies.
Iconic.
Big Bang is like, I am the Jiminy Cricket for that generation.
Yeah,
I am very lucky. I'm blessed. I ride the coattails of many geniuses. Pete Docter mm-hmm. being one. John Mulaney being someone. Ethan Joel and Ethan Coen. I'm just... lucky.
Can we stop right there? Because I want to just say we need to talk about a serious man. Quinn had a class at school where they studied, it was called Bible. The Bible is literature. And they studied the book of Job. And for his final assignment, they could write a play or do a scene or something, or they could watch a serious man and analyze this sort of modern retelling of the book of Job. Ben had seen it before. I hadn't seen it. And so the three of us watched it with Quinn. I had never seen it. Can you believe that?
I think Ben saw it at the premiere. You know who loved it? Your mother-in-law.
She loved it.
She loved it, yes.
And you in that film are so brilliant. First of all, it is an extraordinary... piece of film. As Ben said, as we watched it, because Ben, as the director, can't help it. He was like, every shot in this movie is perfection. Every shot, every frame.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion.
That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to A Serious Man. Did you know the Coen brothers? Had you worked with them before? What was the process?
Some of this is very funny. Okay, let's relive that time. They came out with two scripts, Burn After Reading and A Serious Man. George Clooney, my best friend.
Your bestie.
He's godfather to my oldest daughter and best man at my wedding, was working, had done The Little Brother Where Art Thou. And he told me that the brothers liked me. I had never met them. So I knew that they were doing this movie. They said, oh, there's a really good part for Richard and Nick. George told me. I get these two scripts. One's Burn After Reading, and there is a two-page monologue by a lawyer, Tilda Swinton's lawyer, in Burn After Reading. I worked on that and worked on it and worked on it. And then there was a scene where I want to say a lawyer it wasn't a rabbi either. It was some part in Serious Man. Maybe whatever it was. I worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked on Burn After Reading. And I went in the office. I must have done it five times ago. Give me another shot. Then I read for Serious Man. And I didn't care. I didn't care about it. In fact, I had just gotten off an airplane the day before. But I didn't care about Serious Man. I didn't understand it. Burn After Reading, I did. So I do the reading and they say, this is the killer. I knew that they liked me. And they said, very good. Would you go out and would you read for the lead? The part that Michael Stuhlbarg played. I said, listen, I'm talking to Joel and Ethan Coen. This is, I just got off an airplane and stuff like that. I didn't study. Let me go home and study the part and I'll come back in. You're doing this after you do Burn After Reading. I'll come back in. They said, okay, good idea. Never got called back.
No.
So I could have had the lead, but I never read for it.
Oh, that's a lesson, right? If they ask you to do a cold read, it's the Coen brothers.
I still did the right thing.
Right.
Why would I want to do a half-assed job? Go home and work on it.
That's right. True.
Study it and then come back. You want me? Oh, I'll be happy to. I didn't make a mistake. God just works in mysterious ways. I got a part that I think I was much more suited for.
Do you think your audition for Burn After Reading helped you get the part you got in Serious Man?
No, my audition did. You'll hear it. It's going to come. They knew I could act, but I really wanted the part in Burn After Reading. I go off to do, again, damn Yankees.
Yep. You're always sprinkling in some musical theater fun.
So I'm doing the devil and damn Yankees down at some theater in Texas. I think in El Paso. It could have been, I don't know where it was. And I get the audition for Serious Man to do Arthur. And I talk, and Ethan, or Joel wants to talk to me before we tape. And the director, I thought there would be people who would be good to read. They were horrible actors, but there was one intern who was pretty good. And I asked him, would he work with me? And he did. And I spoke to Joel before, and he said, nothing is too big. Nothing. He goes, just lay it out there. Just, you know, when you're at the pool, your life is bad. Just let it all out.
You've been waiting for that for years since your second city.
Craig Bierko, call, yes.
But the thing is, I went, oh, okay. And he goes, and he told me this story. He goes, Bill Macy during Fargo, you know, he had a, if you remember that, when he was just so fed up, he banged on the roof of the car. Yeah. And Bill Macy said, they're going to laugh at me. Bang on the roof of the car. No one's going to believe that. And he goes, trust me, they will. He goes, I can't go back to New York and doing that. It's one of the most memorable things in the world when he's up at the top of the, you know, everything's wrong and he starts beating the car.
Yeah.
And so I'm like going, I can't even remember the words. And I'm at the pool just so sobbing. And I got the job. I got the job over on tape. And I hear, and he's so nice. Do you know Pat Oswalt? I'm sure
of
you
course.
Do.
Of course. We had him on the show. We had him on this a little bit ago.
One of the finest human beings in the world. He's the type of person that got 25 hours in a day. We all got 24. Patton gets 25.
You're so right.
He knows movies. He writes. He acts. He does stand-up. He's politically active. He's the best there is. He's one of my favorite people. I know him. You know, he's a friend. I can't say close friend, but I adore him. He's taken parts away from me many a time. However, this one I took from him.
He was up for that.
He thought he was going to get it, and I took it away from him. And certainly that movie. I'm blessed with gifts that keep coming in my life, and that was one of the gifts. Serious Man is one of the gifts.
Very special.
Inside Out, one of the gifts. I've been lucky. Mm-hmm.
We should recreate the Kevin Bacon game.
Six with degrees
Richard? Of yeah, Richard kind. I am now. I truly am. But look how many things I've done. I know people. It's silly. It's just silly.
And I love too that when you say, look at how many things I've done. Ella just showed. First of all, Ella said she ran into you recently, and that you're doing Bye Bye Birdie at the Kennedy Center. So that was I didn't even have to research that, which is so exciting. But she showed me a clip of something that you did, a Girls Five Eva with Sarah.
Is that hilarious?
With Sarah Bareilles. I was peeing in my pants.
Hilarious.
The tissues in your thing, your self-deprecating take on yourself was brilliant. That is so funny.
And they wrote it. They wrote it. They had some things in there that I said, nah, let's not say that. Let's say this. But that brilliant, brilliant woman, Meredith Scardino.
Yep.
Brilliant.
She Girls Five Eva, right? On Netflix. Yeah. Someone told me yesterday it's the funniest show.
It's a great show.
It was one of the funniest shows ever made.
Yeah. But they, well, that whole Robert Carlock, Tina Fey, Jeff Richman factory. They're great.
Are you going to continue on that?
It's literally a 3-minute cameo.
It's so good, David. Okay. David, you got to look it up. It's genius. You will die.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us. They burned us and subject us to really horrible, cruel and unusual punishment.
After my personal experience at Provo Canyon School, I was shocked to learn that a man named Robert Litchfield, a man who got his start at the school that I went to, would go on to create a multi-million dollar empire.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
The Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They prey on, you know, a parent's really natural and beautiful love for their children in a really, really, unfortunately, effective way.
At this time in my life now, if someone presented this program to me, and not just because I've already experienced it, sham, scam, beware.
Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh,
yeah. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I texted you, was it last summer at the Tribeca Film Festival? Because I had done a short that was in this evening of shorts. And there you pop up. You were talking about that you're in so many things and you jump around.
Oh, I know. You're talking about the short
yes.
Proof of concept.
It was so good.
That's wonderful.
It was such Smart. A good short. But here I am Smart. Thinking, like, how terrific. Like, you, I feel it at this stage in my life, in my career. In my 50s now, that it's sort of like it's ego free when it comes to work. It's sort of like if a friend or if it's a short film, which is for no money, it's sort of like I'm paying to do it because I have to transport myself there and pay for the meal. Although it doesn't matter. It's like the joy in and the luxury too. Like I think that's the other thing I could say is like I have the luxury of being able to do jobs like that, but.
We do.
To have no ego about any of it. I feel the joy. Like you said, you love it. And I just feel that in every single thing you do, that you just love to work.
I do.
And it's infectious.
I don't know how infectious it is.
But
it's nice. Well, you know, if a young actor says, you know, what do? The first thing I say is don't do it. That's the first thing. But if they say, I say, do plays, become good. You have to become good. Then do everything. You know, here's something funny. I'm doing a show. I have one day tomorrow and 3 days next week, a show called Evil. Okay. It's on Paramount Plus. The people who created are great, great people, great creative minds, the Kings. And why not? It's a guest spot. It's 2 episodes. It's not that much money. And I play a judge. And in the first episode, all I'm doing is saying, well, the defense is the defense, you know, sit down, please, objection overruled, just stuff like that. And there's no dramatic arc. And then I'm reading the second episode, same thing. Would you like to respond? Does the defense rest? Shit like that.
It's judge talk. Judge talk.
Judge
yes.
talk. And then I have a 1.5-page scene that is so, and I'm going, why did they hire me? And then I have a 1-page scene, 1.5 pages. It is so good. It's so good. Now, I didn't take it because of that. But that is, I when I read the script, I said, oh, that's why they want me. So I get to do that. And then I thought, they're paying me not a lot of money at all. But who am I? Think back to when you're a young actor. And there are people around today going, I kill
mm-hmm.
for 2 episodes on a show. And the money is not in hundreds, it's in thousands. It's not that many, but it's in thousands. What? Unbelievable. And I get to go to work rather than a Wednesday where I'm sitting at home all day.
Doing a podcast.
You know, I go, yes, of course I want to do that.
Yeah.
It's what I do. This is what I do.
It's what I do.
It's what I do.
It's the love of the work and also
I love it. Well, there is no better place. And you'll both know this. There's no better place to be than on set.
Right.
Yep.
But also remembering where you came from and that, you know, a top of show, a few thousand dollars is not what it's about.
It's not. I get the work. I remember the first time I turned something down and I'm a superstitious person. And I said, I'm never going to work again.
Right. I jinxed it all. Yeah.
What kind of hubris do I have that I'm turning down work? Are you kidding me? Who am I to turn down work? Yeah. Now, Christine, your husband looks at 20 scripts a week, has to turn this stuff down. I don't.
Right.
I get to do everything. Can my agent and manager mix and match and weave to, okay, I would shoot this Tuesday, then I have to fly to Seattle to work Friday, Monday, and Tuesday, and then come back and do some. But
right. Let them do that. Right. Let them sort of weave it. Yes.
Right. But when Ben takes something, that's a 3-month commitment.
Right.
And he's got to do it. So he has to turn stuff down.
Right.
I don't.
Right.
I don't have to. And I don't want to do what Ben does. Ben has to be too famous. Ben has to work too hard. Ben has to shoulder a movie where...
Ben's listening to this. He'll be listening to this right now. No, he will be. He listens to every episode and he's going to be nodding in agreement with you.
Well,
but he loves it too, though. He does love it.
He does.
But he has economic concerns too, because if his movie fails, he doesn't get the next great script. It doesn't matter what I do.
Right.
People will say, Ben Stiller has a new movie. I'm going to go see a new Ben Stiller movie. Oh, I saw the new Ben Stiller movie. It's dreadful. You know, what are you going to do? They go, I went and saw this movie. Oh, you know, it was Richard Kind. Movie was terrible. He was funny. It doesn't matter.
The movie was terrible.
Here's $18. Let me see the Richard Kind vehicle.
No, there is a lot of freedom in being one of the great character actors. There really is.
There is a tremendous, my shoulders and my neck do not have the tension that Ben Stiller has.
I get it. No.
You listening, Ben? You hear that? The tension.
But also when he takes something, an industry opens up because dry cleaners have to get work. Hotels will get work. Crews will get work. All sorts of people, caterers. Just go and, it's a different, I show up. Yep. And I love it. And by the way, may I say, because you said I'm in my 50s, I don't know how you look so good. And I've seen you in person and I now see you on screen.
Oh, Richard.
It's ridiculous.
You always make me blush.
And another question. Is your mom still with us?
Yes. Joan? Yes.
Have you had another mother?
No, really? Joan. Joan Taylor. I'm Christine Joan Tayler, and she's the OG Joan.
She was very lovely to me in those early days.
We've been in each other's lives for a long time. And you talked about there's no better place than being on the set. And it made me just think of going back, kind of coming full circle to it. David, it was us, me becoming friendly with David and Andrew Hill Newman on that set, like just guest stars bonding, mm-hmm. and then leading to meeting you on a lunch break. And it nice. Like, that's the joy. I feel like there's all these, beautiful connections.
We all had our groups, we had the White Squall cast on, a group of my friends, but you guys and Matthew Perry,
the movie with Matthew Modine.
No, it was Jeff Bridges and a whole group of young guys that I came up with. But
yeah, a lot of people do, especially now. I did Summer Stock, and I became so close. I mean, you're sleeping with these people. You say, oh, I'm going to stay so close, and you do, and then it dissipates, and then you don't. But I'm still friends with my Spin City people. I know I have one of the guys on Spin City. He was in the Vietnam Hotel. I can't remember what it was. But like Steven Weber and all those, and Don Cheadle, they all remain friends. You have your White Squall people.
Yes.
So you must. You have your people. You remember. And I'll tell you something else. Like Irving Berlin said, there's no people like show people. Yeah.
Oh, Richard, thank you. We've taken up a full hour, and this went by in a flash.
Now what do I do? Just go back and lie in bed in my underwear.
Well, now you're dressed. You're dressed, and you've got your teeth brushed.
No, maybe I'll go outside.
No, why don't you go singing in the rain? Practice your musical skills.
That's actually
not a bad idea. It's so miserable out there.
When you go on the lamppost, when you swing around, a lot of COVID and germs.
Yeah, you're too old for that stuff.
Can't do it. Yeah, they haven't washed it down.
It was so nice to meet you, Richard.
A pleasure to meet
you. This was awesome.
Richard, I love you. I love your family.
I love you to your whole family. Please.
I will. You too. You too. Everyone.
All righty. I love you guys. I love you.
Thank you, Richard.
See you later. Bye. Thanks, Mike.
I mean, really, what a sweetheart of a guy.
And what a force, right? Like, it's just Richard starts. And I can't tell you, David, like knowing him for the 30 plus years that I've known him. And then our daughters were in the same class together at school and graduated high school together. And so I would see him at all these parent events as well.
Didn't you know him from your LA days?
Yeah, no, we met when I was 22.
Right, I mean, so you met when you were doing Blossom, but then that whole friend group.
Our whole circle, yes. I mean, we were, Richard was always out of town, like he's talked about, like doing tours of musicals, but every time, and he is such an Upper West Side staple here in New York City, like, you'll just see him, and he has, I was going to bring it up to him, but I didn't want to make him self-conscious. He has this great purple golf sweater that you can spot like a mile away on the Upper West Side. It's like
his character Bing Bong.
Exactly. It's a purple V-neck, and he would wear it to like the parent things at school. I think it's a golf sweater that he got from some golf club. But I will see that purple sweater like where he's like, I'm just parking the car. And I run into him all the time and he's just like home. He's just family.
He's seriously, it's no, like it's play on words. His last name is Kind, but he really does seem like the sweetest guy.
Yeah.
Like you just want to hug him and hang out with him.
And has no problem. I mean, he, what I love about him too, is he gives himself all the credit in the world and also is the most self-deprecating person in the world. You know what I mean? Like he's all of it. He knows he's worked hard. He knows he's gotten better over the years, but
he knows
also
he's a good
like,
person, which I loved him saying that. I know I'm a generous person. Yeah, like if you can say that about yourself, that's like so important.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, that was so much fun.
Yes. Awesome.
And that's going to do it for us, but, come back next week. We got another fun one. Another
have
fun
a great
one.
Week. Next week's going to be good.
Yes.
Have a great week and thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe and give us 5 stars.
And please follow us on Instagram at HeyDudeTheNinetiesCalled. See you next time.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us, so we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to Season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.